It is part of the story. It is a pelvic model, female pelvic model, and you'll get it in just a while. Okay. All right, so this is for my dad, who is 83 years young and an amazing man, a pain in the ass, but an amazing man. And the subtext of this story is, some things are best left to the professionals. So in 1983, I dropped out of graduate school, much to the chagrin of family, friends, and faculty members, because I was about 2 months away from graduating with a master's in city planning and social work. But I was depressed, I was tired, I just didn't know what I was doing, and so I just had to leave. Now, I had a very dear friend at the time, his name was Lionel, and I said, Lionel, like, what the hell have I done? He said, you know what, this is great, you've had an emotional breakthrough, most people just plod along, it's really dumb, but you have before you an opportunity to do all the things you've ever wanted to do in the next 5 years. So he said, well, how do you want to make the best use of this time? And I said, I have no idea, I really have no idea, like, I don't have any professional skills. He said, you know what, just pick some things, just do some things, and we're going to make it all work out. And so I said, okay, all right. So I decided to write a list. And on that list included, I wanted to always be an auto mechanic, and so I did it. I did it for a year. It was great. I lost some pliers, some other sorts of things in people's cars, but you know, who really cares? And then, because I really love art and music, for a while, I worked, I sent a letter to the director of the Philadelphia Museum of Art on pink paper, and they responded by saying, no one has ever sent us a letter on pink paper before, come on down. And so I was a docent, and then I was a part-time, I led tours part-time, and I had a great time because I love African art, and that's where I spent most of my time. And so then, because I love music, someone said, you know, why don't you go work at this great music store? And I said, fabulous, I'll do it. It was great. And that led to a really great stint at a PR firm where I got to work on a Mellon Jazz Festival and I got to meet Miles Davis. I'm on a roll. It's just like really, really fabulous. And so one of the other things that I had on my list was that I made a list of, I had names of people that I always wanted to work with. And because my parents were great supporters of Planned Parenthood and Faye Waddleton was the executive director of Planned Parenthood, I decided I wanted to work for Planned Parenthood. And so I, timing is everything. I sent them a letter. Lo and behold, they were actually looking for a sexuality educator. They said, come on in, interview. Presto changeo, I got the job. And so, but they had this like little twist on it. They said, well, we're starting a new initiative. We want to eroticize reproductive contraceptive health. I said, okay. Okay, and so I said, well, what might that look like? They said, you know, we're gonna give you a whole training program, it's gonna be fabulous, you know, you'll do these talks at high schools and colleges, we're gonna set up all these parties for you, you'll talk to people about how they can eroticize contraception. So, the first thing I got was the pelvic model, the female pelvic model. And with the female pelvic model, the intent was to have fun with foams, jellies, creams, and diaphragms. Yes, 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 the old diaphragm. And so we went through this intense training program, and they said, you know what? What we want you to do is we want you to go all around the city of Philadelphia telling people how they can make diaphragms fun and a part of foreplay. Okay, you know, it's a dream job, I'm gonna do it. So with a host of other people, that's what we began to do. We did high schools, we did colleges, we did parties, and you know, so we'd bring out the pelvic model, and we'd say, you know, you can eroticize. You can have really great fun with foreplay and a diaphragm. Now, you know, in the audience, there are women who are thinking, oh my God, and there are men who are thinking, oh my God, and so that's what we did. Okay, so around the same time, I was dating this amazing woman out in El Paso, Texas, and we would have these great conversations, and she was the baby, how's it going? I would say, oh, you know, I'm having the best time. I'm doing this thing in Philadelphia. I'm traveling up and down the Eastern Seaboard. I'm doing some national stuff with the eroticizing of contraception. And so we had a rendezvous plan, and I flew out to El Paso, Texas. And now this woman was really amazing. I mean, her house was stunningly beautiful. If you ever seen the movie, like Water for Chocolate, it was exactly that way. Candles, great food on the stove, great music. It was sex. The moment you walked in the house, you felt like sex. And so we had this amazing, sumptuous meal. I mean, from start to finish, it was just orgasmic. And so now it's evening, and we're going to retreat or advance to the bedroom. So we go to the bedroom, and it is unlike anything I've ever seen. Candles, incense, there are rose petals on the bed. You know, I've died and gone to heaven. And so she retreats to the bathroom. She comes out of the bathroom. She's got this amazing lingerie on. I'm like, oh my God, this is fabulous. And I go into the bathroom. I come out. There's music on. It's looking fabulous. And then she says, you know what I'd like you to do? I'd like you to show me your technique. Eroticize me, baby. So I was like, I got this. So I reach over to the nightstand, I open the drawer, I find the diaphragm, I got the diaphragm, and then, you know, I've said this hundreds of times, you take your jelly, you put it around the rim, you put it on the inside, you know. Women in the audience know what I'm talking about. The guys are like, oh my God, is that how it really works, right? So, now, the thing about it is that, you know, a person in bed is different than the pelvic model, so... I've done this count hundreds of times, in fact, with a few partners, but, you know, it's okay. And I had a glass of wine, so, you know, all right. So she's in bed, and I she's there, and I do the thing, and I got the diaphragm, and I go to put it in, and oh, my God, it falls... It falls out of my hands, over across the bed, underneath the dresser. I get out of bed, I fish around, it's at the far end of the wall. I can't reach it, I finally get it. It's covered in dust bunnies and everything you could possibly imagine. It's foul, it's amazingly foul. I said, let me not say her name. Okay. I'll be right back. I run into the bathroom, and you know, I'm now washing the diaphragm off, which is not really easy. And like, I come out in what seems like 5 minutes, but obviously it has been a long time, because by the time I get out, the candles are all blown out. The incense has been extinguished. The lights are on. The music is off. She is in a sweatshirt. She's reading a book. And I, you know, sort of whimper like, oh, you know, honey, I've got the diaphragm. And she says, you know, baby, sometimes the best things are left to the professionals.